Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Titan Company Limited's Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajoy Chawla, Managing Director, Titan Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Chawla.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to the earnings call of quarter one for FY27. It's been another fantastic quarter, and I must say this quarter has been even better than the previous quarters. We've seen all-round growth across all our businesses, all our brands, subsidiaries, and we've also seen a good volume growth and a buyer growth that has come in. So all in all, very positive, and certainly disciplined execution as well, which has driven this as well as the results. I now hand over this to our CFO, Ashok, who has a few opening remarks before we open it up for some questions. Thank you.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. We are very pleased to report another quarter of strong growth across our portfolio, as Ajoy said. We must also note that operating environment was not so favorable, but still things have turned out very well for us. Before we get into Q&A, I would like to highlight a few aspects that will help in interpreting the numbers and quality of results for you, and there might be common questions, so I'm addressing it upfront. We had, during this quarter, gains on account of customs duty rate increase from 6% to 15%. While these gains will be realized as the inventory gets sold over the next couple of quarters, but in this quarter, we had overall at a consolidated level realization of 407 crore. 386 crore was in Tanishq Mia Goya portfolio, and 21 crore was in CaratLane. The other significant item during this quarter was that as sudden and sharp customs duty changed and many other steps are being taken, the market went into quite a, I would say, volatility where international prices and domestic prices were at a divergence at many times, and we were also advancing our gold procurements to secure that we are fully equipped to meet our festive demand and production without any disruptions. So on account of those price divergences, we have an accounting MTM in the inventory, which caused 75-80 basis points jewelry division a bit upward. So jewelry division has the benefit of that, and we believe that these are likely to reverse in the coming quarters. So the normalized margin, considering both customs duty gain and MTM gain, the normalized EBIT margin for Tanishq Mia Goya business would be 10.9%, a normal number for this quarter. The other important change which I wanted to tell you is that we have revised the classification of our jewelry product mix. You remember in the last quarters, we have talked about colored stone jewelry, and we have been progressing on that. Colored stone jewelry, which was earlier clubbed under the studded category, we have reclassified that into the gold jewelry so that studded reflects to more diamond jewelry and not any other colored stone or Polki jewelry, etc. So to that extent, you will see some change in the number, and to facilitate, I think we have shared the reclassified number for previous periods also so that comparability is not lost. And last point regarding watches business, that while reported EBIT profitability will look muted compared to revenue growth in the quarter two, but every quarter one, we run standard costing revaluation of inventory of watches. Last year, we had called out, if you refer that earning, that about 50 crore was the benefit to watch division. This quarter, that benefit was far less. So if you normalize for both these sides, then last quarter one FY26, watch EBIT margin was 18.6% compared to 17.8% normalized margin for this quarter. So these were some of the points which I thought I'll say upfront, and now we will open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Your first question comes from the line of Vidisha Sheth with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. My first question was pertaining to the jewelry segment. Now in 1Q, even you mentioned that growth to some extent would have been impacted because of government interventions or even events like Adhik Maas. So based on your observation, have you seen that the postponed demand has come back in the quarter till date, and accordingly, can we expect growth momentum to further improve in the ongoing quarter? And any particular change in consumer behavior also, if you'd like to share?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that question. Some key dates for everyone's, to refresh everyone's memory. May 10th was a certain call out by the PM. May 13th was the customs duty change. And we also had Adhik Maas also begin from May 17th. So there was obviously an overlap of many of these developments. As a consequence, we did see a softness in consumer sentiment for about 3 weeks' time till the end of May. But by the beginning of June, things started picking up. Weddings also restarted post the end of Adhik Maas. So we believe that it was a deferment, and we saw things pick up in June. What we lost in May, perhaps we gained back in the month of June.
Sure. And any changes in consumer behavior, whether it's the sub 1 lakh category coming back or sustenance of studded growth that you'd particularly want to call out?
No, as you're aware, we began seeing a resurgence of studded in quarter 4 of last year, and we are seeing that continue to play out in quarter 1. In a sense, it's, the momentum that we had in quarter four continued during Akshay Tritiya. There was a brief lull, perhaps, in May, but it's kind of come back in the month of June.
Sure. Just one more question before I get back in the queue. In a context of sustenance of the improvement we're seeing in buyer growth, even studded growth seems to have revived quite well. Probably even the zero reduction on the old gold policy will start getting analyzed September onwards. Would you like to revisit the EBIT growth or margin guidance for the jewelry segment given during the analyst meet for the next 1-2 years at least?
Do you want to give a guidance on the EBIT growth or margin is what she's asking.
No, we are not giving any guidance at this point of time. In the investor thing and prior, we have said that more of 11% being the center of gravity for jewelry business margin, we would be around that plus minus something can happen. So many moving parts, market is behaving in a particular manner. Gold price continued to remain on a very uncertain trajectory. You would have seen softening, then all of a sudden in a day, $100, $200 going up and down. So given these circumstances, we will stick with our previous guidance. We are not changing it.
Sure, I'll get back in the queue. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Devanshu Bansal with MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for taking my question, and congratulations on a strong quarter. Sir, Ashok sir, so last year also there was this 50 basis points one-off gain which was there in the margin. So ideally, the current quarter margin at 10.9% compares with 11.3% last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And over. And sir, going ahead, so this reversal of 80 basis points, is this the only reversal or that earlier 50 basis points reversal which was there last year, that can also sort of happen in the next few quarters?
That would have happened in next few quarters for sure, but it was not something major that every quarter we had called out the reversal. And sometime tracking of that reversal, also the way gold prices move when various futures get settled. But it is very likely that this will reverse, because when those inventories will be realized, then the losses or gains will get crystallized. Over next 2 to 3 quarters, these gains would gradually flow through P&L.
Got it. And
sir,
this quarter it was 400 crore of benefit, but overall quantum of customs duty benefit, if you can call out for the entire year, and would it largely come in Q2 or some of it will come in Q3 also?
It will come in Q2 as well as in Q3, but I would rather refrain from giving a full year impact at this point of time. Whenever we do, we will exactly qualify the way we have called out this time so that you can knock that, you know. We also don't want to take credit of that, because at some point of time when customs duty will go down, we will have the opposite situation. So we want you to kind of all the time nullify that, and we will also go like that.
Fair point, sir. And last question from my end. At the time of acquisition, in my opinion, the Dama's core business was not a loss-making business, right? So wanted to check as in reasons behind this loss in Q1, if you could sort of highlight that.
So, you know, now, yeah, you are right. Core business was not loss-making, but given the current situation of war, I think purchasing jewelry in Dubai and Saudi and other countries is the last priority for anyone there, you know. So the footfall has fallen down, ticket size has fallen down, and if a business which was operating at whatever level, 20-30% from those level comes down, you will end up making losses.
Got it. So, sir, overall international business is at a ballpark run rate of about 6,000-odd crore top line. So how should we see the margin profile of this segment for this current year? Should it be largely neutral at the EBIT level, or we may make some profit here?
I would think that our rest of the portfolio of international business except Damas is making profit, mid-single digit EBIT margin, 5-6%, which they will continue to make. And overall, Damas contribution in international business will not be very high. So I would expect overall portfolio would still turn out to be positive EBIT performance for the full year. And Damas is contingent upon the current situation. As soon as that situation gets over, I am sure they will also improve pretty rapidly.
Got it, sir. Thank you for taking my questions. Very clear.
Okay.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Latika Chopra with J.P. Morgan. Please go.
Yeah. Hi, team. My first question, you know, was around, you know, exchange schemes. We do see some jewelers, you know, kind of pushing for exchange against cash kind of a scheme. Wanted to understand, you know, what are your views on this and how is Titan approaching this?
Yeah, thank you, Latika. We have rolled out what we had called as Cash for Gold in all our stores from the month of June. And we are not seeing significant traction here, but that option is available for customers to bring their own gold and exchange that for cash. Not exchange, but convert that into cash.
Okay. But I think Latika, your question is also on the economics of exchange per se, right? Not just
absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, just go over your question again.
I was just looking for, you know, your approach for this, you know, versus some of the your peers actually aggressively pushing for this scheme. So just wanted to understand, you know, the economic benefit of doing so. Because when you're exchanging jewelry for jewelry, it still makes sense for you to grab a new consumer. But, you know, exchanging gold for cash, you know, what is the thought process, you know, from your perspective?
No, from our perspective, it's about solving a customer problem. It's not as much about profiting from it. And many of these customers are our own customers, and if we widen the basket of solutions for them, it's the most responsible thing to do. And we also think that it could be a way to acquire new customers, those in need for money and have gold with them. So that's the way that we are looking at it, purely as a customer solution as opposed to a revenue stream. So, yeah.
It is not diluted for your margin profile or versus exchanging gold for gold. What is the difference, in terms of
the way that the program works? There is a deduction which is there when you bring gold for exchange. And that nullifies this.
Okay, so it's margin neutral to that extent.
Latika, if I may add Ajoy here, I think at the most fundamental level, what's good for the country, what's good for the planet, what's good for the customer, we have always believed is also good for the company and the brand. I think that's a larger piece to look at. How to ensure that the economics don't dilute our margin. Those are things we as an organization have figured out how to do without making it unattractive for the customers. So we wouldn't worry too much about it. In fact, we believe there's a much larger positive gain and it is not going to dilute our economics.
Sure. Thanks. The second bit was, you know, buyer growth of 5%, when gold prices are stable. Is this buyer growth tracking in line with your expectations? How do you think, this plays out, assuming gold stays stable for the rest of the year? The second bit connected to just margin, one clarification, this 10.9% is against 11.8% in the base quarter for TMZ. And if so, in a quarter where the studded share was broadly similar, what led to, this quantum of margin moderation? Thank you so much.
Yeah, on the buyer growth, like I said earlier to the first question, we had a good period in April and a good period in June. And there was a bit of sentiment that was dampened in the month of May. So this is an average for the entire quarter. And see, if gold rate stays stable, we always see that sentiments are positive and people come back and they don't sit on the fence. But whenever gold rates are volatile or if they are going only in one direction, which is downwards, then we see people tending to wait if they don't have an urgency to buy. So stable gold rates, or even if it is going up marginally, always helps in. That's one. Second, I think point to note is our buyer growth on the studded part of the portfolio is really been going up and going up since quarter four of last year. And that's the heartening part of the story that we would like you all also to take note of.
And Latika, on margin, the base quarter also we had called out a 50 basis point of one time. So actually it becomes 11.3 versus 10.9. The factors in the last four quarter, the gold price impact we have talked several times, those have been playing. So all the positives which happened in this quarter, good studded growth, etc., but still eventually there is a 40 basis point erosion of GC margin. Yes.
Understood. Thanks for clarifying. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nihal Mahesh Jham with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi team. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
two questions. First is on your comment on the impact in May. Just wanted to understand that, say, because of Adhik Maas, was there any demand that would have got lost or most of it got covered this quarter? Just to understand if there is any sort of percolation that could happen into Q2.
Yeah, no, we believe it got covered. Like I said, Adhik Maas started middle of May, and by the time we got into June, we started seeing things recover. And while Adhik Maas technically ended on 17th of June, if I have the day right, but we started seeing traction well before that. So we believe that what we may have lost in May, we have gained in June. We don't see that trickling in into quarter two.
Understood that. The second question was on the margin bit again, that, you know, if you look at it organically, there has been a slight moderation in the margin, and we've obviously seen more than a 30% kind of an LFL growth this quarter. So just to understand that as we move into H2, obviously it may not be practically possible on that high base to deliver that kind of margin. So when we say the 11% EBIT margin, what will be the driver sort of for this to improve? Because incrementally, I would believe, at least from a base impact perspective, H2 will have a slight impact in terms of, circling a very high base. So just to understand, how do we plan to get to that 11% where we started off at 10.9 organic?
So, we talked about margin is a range. We never gave a, 11% is kind of center of gravity where in some quarter you will find we are doing slightly better, some quarter we are doing below that also. So it's not a very precise point, The second thing also, there are various things which are happening in the system. We have talked about acceptability of customer or introduction of lower characters where they generally have a positive impact on margin. So various things are being done. And as we think, if gold prices stabilize and we go forward, perhaps the product mix will also improve. The whole product mix where coin used to be slightly higher, it might start coming down, which we see signs of. So all of this can result into closer to that number. That's our belief at this point of time. And that is how we are saying something around that number, we are very, very hopefully we'll be able to deliver on a full year basis.
I'll just add to it. I think the product mix swinging upwards towards more studded sale is a very important driver, and that's a focus area also for the division. The second bit I would say is, as you know, I'll elaborate, as Ashok pointed out, there are many programs we are running to enhance the gross margin given the high gold rate regime, and those will start bearing fruit in the second half of the year, more so than the first half. And thirdly, I think if gold prices remain subdued, the opportunity to be able to sell a more profitable mix with higher AMCs and even, on the gold jewelry side, those drivers can also work to our benefit. So there are these drivers. How they play out, of course, is a matter of what happens.
Got it. I'll just slip in one question quickly that, been picking up that with the correction in gold prices, there has been some moderation in demand in the industry. Just wanted to understand, any such trends visible or none of it at our end?
Okay, the only point to add to what we've already spoken of is, I think towards the end of July, perhaps, we did see some softness in on the plain gold side, and it does happen sometimes when the price is range bound or the price, and if people also hear news from various sources that bears have taken hold of gold and gold is likely to go down, so a lot of confusing news that people were exposed to during the month of May, and that kind of puts people back to the fence, and they tend to wait it out. But we've also seen in the last 2-3 days that there is an upward movement. So I guess once there is clarity on where it's going, perhaps those who are on the fence will come back. So there was a bit of softness towards the end of July,
which is of course outside the scope of quarter one, but that's only bound to happen when people are wanting to time the market.
And that's largely on account of plain gold jewelry. Studded may not be so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Thank you, Sumit. That was it from us.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Avi Mehta with Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for this. Just first bit, if you could help us understand what was the average buyer growth if I were to remove May, say, average of April and June, just to get a sense on how buyer growth is actually trending in the jewelry space?
You'd like us to remove what?
May, you said May had these one-off factors, right? So if I were to kind of look at either the exit, say June, or average of April and June, just to get a sense on normalized where how buyer trending versus what we saw last quarter.
No, thanks for that question. I just want to reiterate that the normalizing happened in June. It's already happened in June. So what you see for the quarter is after that normalizing, and these one-off things are part of our industry. I mean, there are auspicious times to buy, there are inauspicious times to buy, you know, like we also mentioned in the analyst meet. This is pretty much BAU and things tend to catch up. So what we, like I said, what we may have lost in May, it appears that we have gained in June. So that averaging out or normalization has already happened. So you could take the quarter one average as the normalized kind of pace.
Oh. Okay, so where I was coming from is we were trying to get a sense on as gold prices, assuming gold prices remain where they are and in this volatility doesn't continue, the assumption that I had was sales or value growth will trend towards buyer growth and hence to appreciate it because the realization growth, from your understanding, the realization growth has some semblance of bunching up that tend that probably happened. So that is where I was coming from. And if you could kind of, if that understanding itself is inaccurate or if you could help us understand how we should look at the differential between buyer growth and value growth as gold prices start to, you know, become YOY flattish or your thoughts on that.
I think it is too early to conclude, you know, one when gold prices have softened, but I think we need to give some time to customer also to make up their mind. Our also thesis is that our top line growth is kind of combination of some of these things. When the gold prices would come down, more buyers will come in, and that is why we don't focus too much as a team and as a company on these things. I think it is too early to just see June month whether it was more than 5%, and but I think that granular level of month by month growth, I don't think you want to. And then there are, you know, regional differences in all these things, where weddings are happening. Adhik Mas is not South story, it is more North story. So I think let us give it some more time to see the impact on consumer.
So if I may add, if you're looking for what is that we are targeting, as always, a double-digit aggressive growth. And that's something which we shared even in the Investor Day. Those targets and our ambitions don't go away. How they play out between buyer, ticket size, gold price, this, that's for us to manage.
Okay, got it, Ajay. I hear that. Just a second bit on the MTM gain and loss. Just if you could just remind us what exactly drives this. Is it more change in mix towards exchange or, you know, if you could just help explain if that's okay. And so just to refresh the memory.
So, you know, this time, as I was saying, there were price differences between international market and domestic market. And we procured the advanced procurement, which we hedged on the domestic market. Inventory valuation happens on the international benchmarks because there is no spot benchmark in India. And it gives rise to accounting MTMs. But inventory is being done on certain basis reference point. Hedges are being done at a certain reference point. And that difference generally is very manageable and need not be called out quarter on quarter. But in current situation when CD, custom duty impact, all of a sudden created wide gap between international and domestic, and we ended up procuring quite a bit gold at that point of time. So that is why we are calling this out. every quarter a small amount of this variation between inventory valuation and hedge valuation happens. It is part of BAE. Yeah?
Okay. Got it, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Kaivalya Bank with IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, this is Percy Pankaj. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. So, wanted to understand going ahead, if the gold price remains at where it is, by Q4 the YOY inflation will become zero, and a large part of growth is being driven by gold price inflation. So in a scenario where gold price inflation is zero, do you think we can sort of maintain a 18 to 20% kind of top line growth in that kind of a scenario? And I'm not talking only about Q4, although the anniversarization happens in Q4. This is more of a general or structural kind of a query, that if for a few quarters the YOY gold price inflation is zero, in that scenario, does our growth rate come down versus our targeted 18 to 20% band?
Yeah, so I think, you know, our game plan across all our brands takes into account this context. In a scenario like that, we would certainly go all out to acquire buyers and use that to drive growth. Because fundamentally, our approach to the business is an optimistic one, and it is one to drive overall growth, like Ajoy mentioned. So whenever there is a turbulence or some kind of a, you know, gold rate playing in people's mind, then there is a certain playbook to give them comfort and drive growth. Whenever that goes out of the equation and there is more stability, then obviously what we would do would be to gain, you know, acquire customers and overall grow the business. So we will have to see how things play out, and closer to that situation, then, you know, we choose the cards that we have to play. But what you're saying is true. It could play out that way, but we'll have to wait and see.
Understood. Related query to this is, again, in that kind of a gold price scenario, do you see the quantum of sort of competitive spending, either in terms of advertisements or in terms of discounts, promotions, sort of normalizing? And in context of that, do you expect sort of the headwind on your margins to sort of maybe turn into a tailwind, and you could see, even with a slightly lower growth, being able to deliver that 18 to 20% bottom line growth?
See, honestly, now if you go back last 2-3 years, we have seen all kinds of scenarios. Now to pretty much have a playbook for all of them, in a scenario when competitive intensity is at its peak, people are discounting like crazy, or a time when gold rates are stable, or it's going up, it's going down. So by now, we think we have a handle. You're right, some new situation could emerge and we might end up learning from it. But by and large, we think we have at least some, you know, plans or some experiences that can help us when these situations kind of come up.
It's just one point I can add, Arun, that if you remember in our analyst day, we guided FY30 numbers. So quarter on quarter numbers can go up, because some of the situations you may not react immediately, but overall medium to long term, we have always said that a good is strong double digit growth, and that is how you will reach to that FY30 number. So that has not changed at all in our mind, and we don't have any doubt at this point of time that we are not marching towards that.
And over the last several quarters, because of the gold price inflation, the entire industry has done a lot of work in terms of making the jewelry lighter weight versus earlier, if a piece has the same look and feel or design, etc., making the same kind of piece or similar kind of piece lighter in weight. if the gold price remains flat for a longer period of time, do you think that could be one of the lever in terms of gradually increasing or reverting back to the or at least increasing slightly the weight per piece? I mean, doing the reverse of what we did over the last two to three years.
See, like Ajoy said some time back, our approach always has been, you know, to solve versus to merely sell. And, you know, we need to do things as an industry and also as a company to bring more consumers in the category, keep them, you know, invested in the category. And for that, jewelry has to be both exciting and accessible. And accessibility comes from keeping it lightweight, looking at a variety of caratages, looking at an exchange program that is strong to get them to recycle. So all these are different levers that we are using to keep consumers, you know, to keep jewelry accessible to a wide set of consumers across the different town classes that we are present in.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much and all the best.
Yeah, if I may just step in once again. I think the concerns that I'm sensing across several questions across different people is, if gold prices don't go up or they remain down, can you guys manage to grow? Okay. And therefore, it's between buyers, ticket size. See, these are not two independent entities which kind of move on their own. These are related. Few years back and a few quarters back, I've heard enough questions of people asking me, "Are gold prices have gone so much, how are you going to continue to grow?" Now the question is, if gold prices don't go up, how will you grow? So I think we have seen buyer growth actually taper down in the last couple of years because gold prices went up dramatically. Why can't the reverse happen? Because India's love for gold has not gone away. At the same time, India's growth story is not going away. So I think if you were to step back a little bit and look a few years ahead and, you know, not get worried about a particular month-on-month situation on gold price, I believe the headroom is huge, not just for the overall industry, but certainly for us as a company, because our market share is also still single digit. So for us to target a healthy double-digit growth in jewelry is inevitable. How it plays out in a particular month and quarter might vary a little bit, but I'm very bullish on that. And margins, I think, will follow if we are able to manage the execution well.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jay Doshi with Kotak. Please go ahead.
Sure. Hi, thanks a lot. Hi, congratulations on good execution in a challenging environment. I've got a couple of questions. First one is, you know, could you comment a little bit on competitive intensity? Because, you know, the last two, 3 years in a rising gold price environment, you know, there were, you know, quite a few discounts by other players on making charges and all. Now, with gold price stabilizing, are you seeing that the competitive pressure on making charges, gold rate, markup, all that has eased a little bit? That's my first question. And second question is, recently, you know, I was visiting some stores and I observed that Indriya was advertising 50% discount on diamond value. And then, you know, my sort of personal experience by, you know, visiting Tanishq store in the ongoing Festival of Diamond indicates that even your discounts on diamond value this time around is a little bit higher than what, you know, it usually is in FOD. So is this because you are currently consuming low cost, low price natural diamond inventory, and so you are better positioned to sort of offer better value through discounts? Or is the market more competitive on studded jewelry at this point of time, which is forcing you to probably offer slightly higher discounts in this FOD versus last year?
Okay. So I'll start from reverse order. So the FOD offer we have this time is a flat 20% off on diamond value, pretty much the same as the last one of the months of Jan-Feb. We may have some products which may be aged, where we may be offering a higher discount, but by and large, the structure of the offer is not changed in any manner. As far as competitive intensity goes, we are all aware of number of brands, number of stores, number of players that are increasing in the category, and obviously that
brings a certain competitive intensity to bear. And the discounting is something that keeps happening, which is different in different markets based on the context of that market and also the segment. I mean, I'll actually request Soumen to come in here, you know, because if you were to, no, because it's a, it's, yeah.
Like Arun said, we also pretty much have the similar offer. The offer that we ran, it was run in the past. And especially after the announcement and subsequent impact that happened, we quickly responded, came up with an offer which seemed like attractive for customers. In fact, May second half and June has been kind of a record kind of a performance that we saw. So we could buck the impression that the initial 1 week had, because we could respond to the situation better. But in terms of overall discount, I don't think there is any significant structural change.
Sure, thank you. Sorry, did you answer the question on, you know, making charges for the plain gold jewelry? How is the competitive intensity there?
No, we don't see a substantial increase in competitive intensity. As you're aware, it's only been going up over the 2 to 3 years.
Sorry, my question was whether you're seeing easing of competitive intensity in plain gold jewelry, given
no.
that gold prices have stabilized and you're, okay, so no changes there.
We're not seeing any easing up of competitive intensity. We are seeing it more of the same. Obviously, the intensity in certain geographies is much higher and has been much higher in the last 2 to 3 years, for example, in Gujarat. Right, so there are regional dispersions which are there, but nothing specifically to call out at either end. Either it's gone up significantly or it's come down significantly.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Harit Kapoor with Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So first question is on exchange. So if you could just give a broad breakup of how much exchange share in procurement has gone up this quarter. I would assume it would have peaked in this quarter because of the situation. So just some sense versus Q1 last year. And have you seen, you know, some basis points impact on margin on account of that as well? That's my first question.
Okay. So specifically on exchange, I think it's been a creeping increase, you know, from the time that we've been investing significantly behind exchange since, I think, September of last year. But during, you know, when the post the PM's call out, when we went into a bit of an overdrive on our exchange communication, and we also saw other jewelers jump onto that bandwagon, we did see an upswing for that period of about 3 weeks, but then it has again got normalized since then. So exchange continues to be a big driver of customer acquisition and a big driver of growth for us. And like we have said in the past, the sale that comes from exchange, both the exchange of old gold bought elsewhere and the gold bought at Tanishq, exceeds 50%, you know, of our of the business. So that's a trend that is sustaining. But yes, you're right. When everyone went onto an overdrive during those 3 weeks in May, the share did go up. But thereafter, I would say it is pretty much normalized.
Got it. So that could have a slight marginal basis point sequential improvement over the next 3 quarters, right? Given that May might have been slightly low gross margin for you just because of the nature of procurement. Is that the right way to think about it?
No, I don't think you should read anything specific into that. I would urge you all not to read anything specific into that.
Got it. And the second, you know, question was on the two subsidiaries, Steel and CaratLane. Now, you did give some, you know, estimates for the four-year period, but, you know, the start of that four-year period, especially on margins on both Steel and CaratLane, have been, you know, significantly, you know, significant. So just wanted to, you know, get your sense of, you know, is Steel a more kind of, you know, revenue booking, you know, situation led, you know, margin improvement and even for CaratLane, I mean, are these numbers surprising you and the operating leverage that you're getting?
On TEAL, I will first answer. TEAL still remains a project kind of business, you know, and where certain lumpiness do come with the margin. In this quarter, we did lot of, I would say, in a way, servicing business of certain set of equipment, which we call refitting or retrofitting, where, you know, they are in the nature of service, where your engineers only work and you get. That was quite substantial. Overall, long-term growth TEAL is on a very strong wicket, but the normalized margin would be, you know, gradually gravitating towards 12%-15%, 16%. This year, full year basis, they can be higher, but that's the trend I see. If mid to long term, you see that kind of business, they will deliver. As far as CaratLane is concerned, we have always said that they will gradually go towards double-digit EBIT margin, more like Tanishq kind of margin portfolio. It has gone out. It's there? Okay. So they have delivered 9.6, I think, something like that, 9% upward. So their normal trajectory should be towards 10%. Again, quarter-to-quarter differences can be there, but they should eventually become very stabilized around that number, to my mind. In the long term, even depending on how the jewelry industry gold price dynamics work out, they can either progress towards 11% or stay around that number. But you know, it's very difficult to talk about so much into future, but we have always talked that CaratLane should inch towards the double-digit EBIT margin.
Yeah, I wanted to also add, see, both these subsidiaries are still on a significant growth path. Okay, and the opportunity to grow is significant and substantial, and we will continue to prioritize top-line growth in both of them. Therefore, margins will kind of play out the way they have to play out. Therefore, I would read more in the growth story rather than on the margin story.
Very clear. Very clear. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashish Kanodia with Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. First question was, you know, given the volatility in gold price, what has been the trend for new sign-ups for both Golden Harvest Scheme and Rivaah Golden Advantage in the last 5-6 months? Are they broadly tracking in line with the kind of jewelry growth you are seeing?
Yeah, thanks for that question. I think on a, you know, on a value basis, we are tracking. I would say that we started with the Golden Harvest program many years back. Then, 2-3 years back, we added Golden Advantage. What's really happening is the dynamic between the two, where we are seeing most customers prefer Rivaah Golden Advantage because it helps, you know, in the rupee cost averaging. We're seeing a shift of preference from Golden Harvest to Rivaah Golden Advantage, which in a sense is good for the customer and was also introduced to solve the problem of gold rates being either increasing or kind of moving up and down. That's really the dynamic that is playing out there. On the whole, I think it's progressing in line with the business on a value basis in terms of the growth in redemption of both these programs versus the growth in business.
Sure. The second question was on just on the, you know, the way we have seen 1Q, and even if you look at 4Q, I think 1Q definitely saw moderation in coins growth, and when we look at plain gold and both studded, the growth was still in line with what was in 4Q despite volatile gold price and, you know, May, June, Adhik Maas, etc. To that extent, you know, are you seeing more, you know, and given, you know, maybe the gold price has been on a downward trajectory, so are you seeing that gold coin demand is actually now losing more traction? While it may still be growing faster than the jewelry growth, but losing traction versus what it was doing 2-3 quarters back, and to that extent, it should ideally help with a slightly better mix and margins?
That is what we expect, but You see, gold price concluding that it is on a downward trajectory will be too premature to my mind. Last 2-3 days, if anything is to be seen, again, they have started inching up. If geopolitics normalize, I would believe gold prices can again go up for time being. But to your point, yeah, the kind of growth YOY coin was showing, it should start moderating from here.
Sure. And just last bit, I think Ajay talked about the gross margin expansion initiative, and over the last few years, you know, on the margins, you had taken various initiatives, war on base, and then, you know, working on alloys. So anything which you'd like to share on the gross margin expansion, like what initiatives we are taking?
No, I don't think we are going into that much detail, but suffice to say, whatever has been spoken about, lower tariffs, there is a GC Max program, there are sourcing strategies, etc. It's a mix of various things. We certainly don't want to give more detail on this.
Sure, sure. And just last bit on the natural diamond prices, at least on the retail part in India, what has been the trend? Is it more stable both for smaller stones and as well as for solitaires? Are they stabilized in the last 6 months?
Natural diamond prices.
Pricing.
Pricing.
No, our, yeah, we have seen more stability perhaps in the pricing, both of solitaires as well as small diamonds. Was that the question or did I miss answering?
My question was on the retail part, not more from sourcing, but at least at the retail end, at a consumer end.
Retail,
consumer end.
Retail also, we have our prices are stable. For both.
Sure.
I think maybe the intent of your question could be, how is that playing out vis-a-vis the lab-grown diamond, and how is the narrative playing out in the mind of the customer? I think at the market level, it has stabilized. And that narrative, which was very prominent towards lab-grown and natural are going on, that narrative seems to have gone down substantially. And I think both exist in the market. Maybe that's the sentiment behind your question I was speaking of.
Yes, because studies we have seen improving, so that's helpful. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, pricing is stable and narrative and sentiment is also stable.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chawla for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks. Interesting set of questions that keep us on our toes and thinking of our feet, literally. Just wanted to end at a very broad level some comments. I think all our brands and businesses, when you look at jewelry, watches, you look at our subsidiaries, look at CaratLane, look at Teal, look at fragrances and bags, pretty much all our businesses have done well. And the growth, what we have seen in quarter one, and we are also seeing that July also is not bad. You know, so I'm seeing a certain positivity so far in the last 4 months. How things play out in the near future, of course, will depend on so many other forces. We think we are on trajectory for delivering the kind of growth that we had promised in the investor day. And we hope that we can, in fact, better it in the current year because we've started very well. Second comment I want to make is there was a lot of questions on the dynamic between buyer, gold price, and all of that. I think overall we are committed to, I'm just reiterating, we are committed to a double-digit healthy growth in value in the jewelry business. So that's the only way we'll get to our committed FY30 goals that we've set. In a particular quarter or in 2 quarters, it may be looking like a power play where we've hit the ball out of the park. But it's not just us. The market also has done very well. I wouldn't get too carried away by that. Neither will I get too carried away by a particular quarter if, you know, there is some volatility and some fluctuation in the market due to external forces or gold price. I think the larger piece I would like to direct all of us towards is that the headroom for growth for all our businesses is very high. Partly because of the
tailwinds of formalization, partly to a large extent because of India growth story, middle India, multiple segments, portfolio play, and all of those. And this is true for jewelry, this is true for eye care, this is true for watches, this is true for fragrances, bags, saris, all of them. We have both headroom for market share gain, as well as India doing very well, many segments coming into the consumption basket and the premiumization story. All the 5, 6, 7 forces that we talked about when we met. Specifically on jewelry, I would reiterate that our growth drivers on gaining market share through regionalization, through high value studded, through retail transformation, through brand differentiation, through portfolio play, and through core growth in both studded and gold in the sub 50, sub 1 lakh kind of price points through buyer growth. All those growth levers continue to hold good, and we stay focused on the long-term strategy and value creation while taking in our stride some positives that we might have received in a couple of quarters and building on them rather than getting worried about whether we can deliver the same levels of growth. So just wanted to kind of direct everybody's attention to a larger story and not maybe getting too carried away by one quarter or the other. Margins will play out the way we have spoken. If we are lucky, we can do even better. But thank you so much for all your questions, and look forward to catching up with you once again next quarter. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Titan Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you everyone for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.